Welcome to Crozier Cast from the Diocese of Gallup. I'm Suzanne Hammonds, Director of Communications, and with me, as always, is your Bishop, James S. Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Good. So, Lent is coming up, and we, Ash Wednesday is this week. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the season of Lent and how Catholics can properly prepare for it. So,
yeah, I think it's a good idea to you want to plan well, and just like if you're making out a monthly budget or a weekly budget or a yearly budget, it's something that you make before you enter into it. And I think Lent should be approached in the same fashion, where we look at it before we go into it. Say, okay, we have this season that's coming up, and what's my Lent going to look like this year? I think that's really important to prepare for prior to entering into it. Sometimes we get going and we think, oh, a week or two has passed. Well, that's a week or two of lost time, a great opportunity to really grow in a relationship with the Lord.
So how should we do that? What should we look at doing for the season of Lent?
Well, there's three basic tenets for Lent: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So if we want to talk about the things that we do, and we look at prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and the whole purpose of doing these things is they're not just simply an end in themselves, but it's in order for our own conversion, right? Conversion of heart, having that conversion of mind, having that conversion so that we can become more like Christ. That's the whole purpose behind all of them. So if we do our prayer, we do our fasting, almsgiving, these are things we should be doing throughout the year anyways, but we really take them up a notch, you might say, during the Lenten season. So first, let's talk about prayer. Prayer is the lifeline of any Christian. And St. Therese, the little flower, she said that prayer is raising our hearts and our minds to God. Simple act of that. So we think about what that act does. That allows us to move beyond ourselves. It's an act of humility, too. St. Augustine, one of my favorite saints, he said that in prayer we are beggars before God. And so in order to be a beggar, you think about the man or the woman on the street corner holding the sign or asking for whatever it is that you can give. I mean, you have to humble yourself. Can't be prideful. You have to humble yourself. And I'll take whatever it is that you can give to me. So our disposition in terms of our relationship with our loving God should be one of humility. So in prayer, when we raise our hearts and our minds to God, like Augustine says, we are beggars before Him. So we want to make sure we have daily prayer. We should have daily prayer as it is. And if we have a good prayer life, well, perhaps we can add to our prayer life. Maybe we can add the rosary, perhaps the chaplet of divine mercy. Perhaps we could add, half an hour of reading the scriptures, maybe the Sunday scriptures leading up. You can take all three readings and split them up through the week and read them and pray over them. So we look at, how is it that we can maybe add to our prayer? Lectio Divina is always a good form of prayer, meditating and praying over the scriptures. So if we have a good prayer life, how can we increase that prayer life? If our prayer life is kind of hit or miss or wishy-washy, well then Lent's a perfect time in order to strengthen it. And it should be a daily activity, not just when we feel like it, not just when we're in trouble. Lord, help me, I need some help right here. And sometimes, rather than, jumping into the deep end, we might want to start in the shallow end. Because if we jump into the deep end, we might run out of gas after a few days, but we might want to start in the shallow end and work our way into the deep end. I think that's a good thing to do for prayer. So there's prayer, and then the next thing we would talk about would be fasting.
Well, if I could ask real quick about that's sure. Interesting that you mentioned reading the scriptures, because I always kind of thought of that as an action. Before you mentioned it just now, I never would have put that in the category of actually praying as, the act of reading the scriptures or something like that. So it's really, that's an interesting categorization of that.
Yeah, one of the rich traditions of the church is Lectio Divina, that holy reading. So not only do we read, but we pray over the scriptures too. And it's God's word revealed to us, and so what it does is it speaks to our hearts and our minds. And what is the act of prayer? But prayer is raising our hearts and our minds to our loving God. And so what a great way to do that in terms of looking at the scriptures that way. You know, one other thing I remembered too, and this was something I did in my own life, was right back 1990, on Ash Wednesday, I made the conscious decision to go to daily Mass. And I haven't stopped since. And what came out of that, making that conscious decision of going daily Mass, was I grew closer to the Lord. And I would hope that I became more like our Lord, losing some of my own selfish inclinations, some of my sinful inclinations, all those things. And through that process, I was able to not only discover my vocation, rediscover my vocation to the priesthood, but I was also able to respond to it in a positive manner. So you never know what happens when you grow closer to the Lord. And what I did, I grew closer to the Lord that Ash Wednesday, 1990, and allowed me to discover my vocation and ultimately follow it.
Hmm. Yeah, I think if someone hasn't listened to the previous podcast you had with one of our seminarians, Mitchell, you talk about that a little bit at length. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that through the practices that he started and you started, we have that. So it might be a good opportunity.
Sure, sure.
And also, as far as, you know, if we could just one more thing before we move on to fasting. When it comes to reading the scriptures, I think sometimes people might like to have a companion or listen to lectures on it, you know, because through the guidance of the church, we can kind of hear, you know, well, what does Jesus mean when he says this, or what did the Gospels mean? Do you have a book or a teacher you recommend when it comes to reading the scriptures?
Sure. One of my favorites is the Navarre Bible Series. I think those are the best. I use them not only for my homilies, but for personal reflection. And they're exceptional. The one I keep in my office, it's always very, very close by, is the Four Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, and it has good commentary. So sometimes you can be reading or praying, and something might strike you as interesting. You know, for example, when our Lord says, you know, if anyone comes after me without first denying himself or talks about hating father or mother, brother or sister, and then you think, well, one sense he says to love our neighbor. How does that not mix up? Well, sometimes we need to take a look at a good commentary to help us put it in its proper context, to say, what is our Lord specifically speaking about here? You know, loving him above all things, you know, that great love. So I think it's good to have a good commentary, good scripture and commentary together. But the Navarre is my favorite. It's not one of my favorites, it's my favorite.
Good. All right, and we can link to that in the description too, so anybody can check it out. Okay, so moving on to fasting. Why do we have fasting in Lent? Why is that important?
Well, it's a penitential season, and fasting can be a penitential action, right? Or something in which we're denying ourselves, not just simply to deny ourselves, but to grow, right? Grow in holiness. It's Pope St. John Paul II spoke at length and wrote at length about the universal call to holiness and how everybody's called to holiness. So sometimes we need to fast, and our Lord says, you know, only certain demons can only be driven out with much prayer and fasting. And so sometimes the things that we struggle with, sometimes the vice that is present in our life, sometimes our sinful inclination, you know, these things can only be overcome through fasting. And when we fast, we want to put an intention behind it. Lord, I'm doing this specifically for this. So, for example, if I find out that I struggle with patience, I find that I'm a very impatient person, and it plays itself out, and maybe I cut people off when I'm talking, or I cut people off when I'm driving, or I drive around angry all the time at the rest of the world because nobody's driving right or doing what they're supposed to do. Things like that, you know, it just kind of show this lack of patience. Then what I would do is I'd fast from something, or abstain from something, and I would put the intention behind it. Lord, I'm doing this for this particular intention. And the ultimate goal is to always to grow in holiness, become more like Christ. And, you know, who is holy but God alone is holy? And that's how we become holy, by growing in our relationship with our loving God.
Now, I think, you know, fasting in the traditional sense, and that we have on, you know,
giving
Fridays and Ash
up.
Wednesday. Yeah. Well, it's, people often think of food or, you know, meat. What about other types of fasting? Like, I know for me personally, sometimes I've done like a social media fast. So would you say that those fall in that category as well?
Sure. I'll tell you what I do every year. And this was given to me about 3 or 4 years ago. Someone made the comment to me that they fast from all other radio stations with the exception of Catholic radio. Now, if this is a shameless plug for Catholic radio, well, so be it. It is. And so that's what I do. Every year on Wednesday, I start listening only to Catholic radio. There's two on Sirius or XM, there's two really good Catholic stations, so you can listen to them all the time. And here in the Diocese of Gallup, in half of our diocese, we have Immaculate Heart Radio. And that's all I listen to. And it's amazing when I get to the end of the Lenten season how I grow in my knowledge of our faith, I grow in my appreciation of our faith, but I also start to find out that it's even more so before me when I do that. So that, I think that's a good example. You know, I know that some people, and I think this is a really, really good idea, some people will abstain, or they'll fast from alcohol. And I've done that my entire priestly life. And one of the reasons is I offer it up for all the damage that is done by alcohol. We think about alcoholism and how it can just tear families apart, tear relationships apart. And so what I do every year is there's a pioneer movement, which started in Ireland, and that's when people make a pledge to abstain from alcohol for the rest of their lives, and there's a daily prayer that you can do. Well, there's also a time during the Lenten season when you can consciously choose to abstain from alcohol and make this prayer, and it's a prayer to the Sacred Heart for reparation for all of the abuses and damage that alcohol can cause. So that's another thing that I do during that. So there's, you know, we can think about things that we eat, things that we drink, we can think about things that we do, things that we watch, things that we listen to, all sorts of different things. And the key to it all is we want to put an intention behind it. We don't want just simply to do it, but put an intention to it. Lord, I'm offering this up for this particular intention.
When I think the alcohol one especially, I hadn't heard of that before, but even in our own diocese, where often that's a center of debate, if people kind of feel helpless about it or they're not sure how they can help, that might be an excellent starting point for them to sort of get in a good frame of mind.
I think it's a great thing to do. I think so. It's a very, very good thing to do. Yeah, in our own diocese, where we have the plague of alcoholism, it seems to be all over the place, and it can leave many people hopeless, even those who are, you know, experience alcoholism themselves, or those who witness it. And so if we witness it, what can we do? I think it's a great thing to do.
Excellent. And so now the third part that you mentioned, it was, remind me, it was prayer, fasting, and
almsgiving.
That's right.
Yeah, almsgiving. And so we want to look at from our own treasures, our own resources, and we want to say, how is it that I can give in order to maybe alleviate somebody else's pain or somebody else's struggle, or how is it can I can contribute maybe to help the poor, or help the good news be spread, the works of the church, different things. But we want to be able to give of our own resources in order to contribute to the greater good. And I think that's a good thing. And again, when we give, we want to make sure there's an intention behind it. You know, you think about in our own diocese where we see some really good work being done. In particular, I think of two groups right away. think about the missionaries of charity, and I think of the Little Sisters of the Poor. Both of them, their mission is to take care of the poor. Missionaries of charity deal mostly with people who are homeless, people who struggle with addiction, all sorts of different things. And so if I'm giving alms, I could give alms to the missionaries of charity to help them to continue that mission to alleviate the pain and suffering of the poor. And then the Little Sisters of the Poor, they deal with the poor, but they do it toward the end of one's life. And so say maybe if somebody had no place to go, they had no family to take care of them, the Little Sisters of the Poor are the ones that take them in, and they minister to them. And they do that in the spirit of their founder, St. John Jagan, as the missionaries of charity do that in the spirit of their founder, St. Teresa of Calcutta.
And if someone has, you know, budget concerns or something like that, would volunteering or giving of one's time also fall under almsgiving?
Yeah, time can be a resource that we have. So if we have, if we're very, very limited on maybe monetarily, if we're very limited, you know, how is it that I can give up my time? And, you know, volunteering at a soup kitchen, volunteering at a homeless shelter, volunteering at some place where the poor are being served. I think that's a great thing to do.
And maybe it would even be good for families, you know, if you have kids or little ones starting from a young age, taking them, you know, they're very family-friendly places, they're welcoming, and I know a lot of the elderly at these places love to see kids.
They do. Yeah. My own family, the ministry that we did growing up was St. Vincent de Paul. That's what we did. My mother and father got us involved in that. And periodically, we would go down to the main campus in Phoenix and work in the main dining hall. And then I remember when I was in high school, two things that my parents had us doing. One was there were some elderly people who worked with St. Vincent de Paul, but perhaps weren't able to drive, or perhaps weren't able to maybe lift some of the heavy food boxes that we would take to the people. And so when I got my driver's license, the responsibility came with that, and that was to drive around some of the members of the society in order to feed the poor. And then the other thing that we would do was on Sunday mornings, get up about 5 a.m., go down to the local donut shop and get a bunch of day-old donuts and go take them down to our parish, St. Mary's in Chandler. And then we would sell donuts after all the masses. And so God bless those people that would come out after the 7 a.m. mass, and here's this teenager with this look on his face like he was not happy to be awake. But, you know, in a sense, I was offering my time in order to sell donuts. And the proceeds went to St. Vincent de Paul, so they went to help to feed the poor. So like, you always look for opportunities like that.
It kind of puts me in mind, there's an old cartoon where the family goes to Mass. I didn't know there was a 5 a.m. Mass. I didn't even know there was a 5 a.m.
Yes. Yeah, as one friend of mine says, you know, our Lord instituted the Last Supper, not the Last Breakfast, so... He was not so happy about that. On the other hand, I like the morning, so I'm okay with it now.
Excellent. So can we talk a little bit also about Sundays in Lent? Because I know it's kind of interesting. I don't think those aren't necessarily counted in as part of the 40 days.
They're not.
So how do we approach that instead of using it as an opportunity to just stuff ourselves with whatever we've given up or as a break? What's a good way to keep that in mind?
Well, all things in moderation. I think that's a good way to keep in mind. So I think that we can, you know, you don't want to just completely spend your Sunday. So perhaps if you gave up a particular show or particular, you know, something that you like to do and you give it up, you don't want to spend your entire Sunday just binge watching or doing something like that. So I think all things in moderation. So technically, though, Sunday is a day it's the day of the resurrection, it's the day of the Lord. And so technically, the things that we do abstain from, right, are things that we fast from, technically they don't carry over on Sunday. I think it's, you know, that's something that's left up to prudential judgment. I think every year somebody's always asking me to give the official proclamation on that. Well, I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell you it's a day of the Lord. It's a day of resurrection. And it technically doesn't fit into those days.
Is there anything else that you'd like to touch on about my...
Well, you know, I think it is a great time to grow in grace and holiness. We want to make sure that we are daily putting before ourselves that time of growth in holiness. That's the goal. And holiness ultimately is only achieved in God. So we use this time in order to grow closer to our loving God and grow in our relationship with Him. So prayer, fasting, almsgiving, the intention always should be behind. That's the main intention. We can have kind of sub-intentions underneath those, losing selfless inclinations or sinful ways or particular vice that we might be struggling with. But really the ultimate intention is always to grow in holiness. And this season is, it's almost like pre-season. You know, I think sometimes my dad was a football coach, so sometimes I think of things in sports a lot. And when we would come together for pre-season for football, you know, you wouldn't start off the way you ended that last season, but you would go back to the basics. And I think Lent is a time of getting back to the basics of our faith. So prayer, fasting, almsgiving, growing in our relationship with our loving God, and ultimately growing in holiness.
Excellent. All right, so I think is one final thing, I guess, you is going back to the beginning with prayers. If somebody's kind of let their prayer life fall by the wayside, do you have a good basic prayer for them to start off with every day?
Sure. Well, we can always do the morning offering, but I would say we pray the way our Lord taught us to pray. So that's the Our Father. Because when the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray, and He gives us the model for all prayer. And those are the words that come directly from the lips of our Lord. So I'd say the Our Father. To expand on that, we would look at the Hail Mary, we'd look at the Glory Be, and then to expand on that, praying the Rosary. And if our prayer life's lapsed a bit, maybe starting by praying a decade of the Rosary each day, in Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, Glory Be. And then building from there. Yeah, again, getting in the shallow end and working our way into the deep end.
Excellent. And if they want to start off, you know, there's that old joke, we're Catholic, we don't read the Bible kind of a thing.
Sure.
But if somebody wants to start off with the Scriptures or getting into the Bible, where would you recommend they start?
Gospels. I would start with the Gospels. I would start with one of the Synoptic Gospels, which is either Matthew, Mark, or Luke. The shortest of the three is Luke, and that's the Gospel that the early church, the catechumens, those who were coming into the church, that was the gospel that they would study word for word. So you could start there, or you could start right at the very beginning with Matthew, and then go to Mark, and then to Luke, and then John, with this very, very high Christology and beautiful, beautiful imagery. And then, you know, perhaps when we get into the Easter season, you'll be prepared to jump into the Acts of the Apostles to see what the church did post-resurrection.
Excellent. Okay, any final thoughts before we end today's episode?
Grow in holiness. Grow closer to the Lord. Look for the great opportunities. Don't let them pass by. And see this Lenten season as a joyful time of grace, right? Joyful time of grace.
All right. So this has been another episode of Crozier Cast. We hope you have an excellent and holy Lent. And Bishop Wall, thank you once again.
You're welcome. Thank you. God bless.